Hello and welcome to the Collapsing Game Shelf board game podcast by one or more people who have way too many board games. Today, we have...
Justin.
I feel like I have the correct number of board games.
Adam, and I definitely have too many.
And I'm Debbie. I'm married to too many.
Wait, what?
That now it just sounds like you're married to all of us.
Oh God, the nightmares begin.
And I'm Tom, and I'm not married to Debbie. I really want to be able to just interlace these podcasts with like little musical drops everywhere, just as just to make it sound really funny.
Well, speaking of that, if you want non-copyright music, NCS Tobu, he's a guy who makes a guy named Tobu, or his user handle whatever is Tobu, and he makes non-copyright music, and a bunch of it is really good. I mean, it's all kind of ambient techno-y stuff, but I think that's a lot of what non-copyrighted. That's easy to produce non-copyrighted.
That's better than anything I found.
Yeah. So you're telling me you did try? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's good to know. I thought I was just like spinning my wheels on my own the whole time.
No. I was looking at stuff, but it was
motherfuckers never helping me out.
It was all really bad.
Oh yeah, I found some really bad stuff too. Anyway, what's not really bad is Scopa. The first game that we're reviewing today.
It's not terrible at all.
And then there's Unstable Unicorns, which is the second game we're reviewing today.
Who makes Scopa?
Who makes Scopa?
The Italians. you can play it with a normal deck of cards. Yeah. The benefits of it.
Yeah, Scopa is just a regular card game, so you can get your regular 52-card deck and strip out some of the cards, and you end up with a Scopa deck. Like, Italian cards are 40-card decks. Four suits, they go from 1 to 7, and then 8, 9, 10 are, like, the
Jack, Queen, King kind of thing?
Kind of the Jack, Queen, King. They call them something else, but, I mean, that's basically what you get.
Yeah, they were Italian words. I tried to figure out what they were.
Yeah, I could look it up. It's so far.
Cups.
Swords.
Camera, it's
pickles.
The Cavallo is number nine.
The cups.
No, those are the suits.
The swords.
Oh, we're talking about the face cards. We're talking about the court.
Oh, yeah, the Fonte, the Cavallo, and the Re.
And the Fonte.
The Re's the king.
Yeah, so Jack, Knight, and King is how it works.
No queens in Italy.
Yeah.
No, it's very male-dominated.
Well, they're all holding pickles, so fuck them.
Yeah, the particular version that we have has...
Some pickle holders in it.
So the four suits are coins, cups, clubs, and swords. And the clubs look shockingly like gigantic pickles.
They're just big old gherkins.
they look more like pickles when the face cards are actually holding them in their hands, because they just look weird.
Yeah, it looks like they're holding just a giant pickle.
A giant pickle.
Not something you normally see.
But anyway, you can... I don't know if you can just pick up a 40-card deck from anywhere, but like I said, you don't really need to have special cards to play this game. I'm probably not the one who's played this the most, but it's what's considered a trick-taking game. So if you know what that means, then there's not much explanation to be had. But so you play in a couple of teams. So like up to four players is kind of what it recommends. You split off into we had four people. So you had two teams of two, obviously. Shit.
We had four teams.
I don't think I've had enough to drink.
Marker. So in order to play the game, it's a standard trick taking game where you split off in. If we were playing with four players, you split off into two teams of two. There's four cards face up in the middle. These are your starting cards, and then each player has three cards dealt out to them. As you go around, you're playing cards from your hand, trying to match cards that are on the table. And if you can match them, you can take them. So if you're playing an 8 out of your hand, and there's an 8 on the table, you're able to capture that 8. If you play an 8 out of your hand, and there's a 6 and a 2 on the table, you're allowed to take that 6 and that 2. As long as there's no... The only rules that are prevalent in that situation is that if there is an exact match. Like, if you play an 8 and there is an 8, you must take the 8 over taking the 6 and the 2. Other than that, you keep going around. If you cannot play, if you cannot take something, you still have to put a card down, which just adds to the pile in the middle.
And a side note, I kind of regularly seem to find that if you want to make that that pair 2 cards to 1, it can't be 2 cards out of your hand to 1 card on the table. It's always 1 card out of your hand.
Otherwise, that's cheating.
Yes, yes. I tried to do that a couple times, and it's not such a good thing to do.
Well, we only taught you once.
Yeah, no, I think I stopped myself more than that.
Okay.
I may have... Adam and I tried to play a 2-player game before you got here, and at one point, I had no cards in my hand, and Adam had 2 cards in his hand, and, well, how did that happen?
It is also different than a lot of other trick-taking games, in my experience, because normally with a trick-taking game, it's the everyone will play 1 card, and then whoever has the highest takes that trick.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one's more of a matching game. It's a highly advanced version of Go Fish.
An advanced version.
I don't know if I really agree with that. All right, sure.
It's like Go Fish, but you already know what all the cards are.
Yeah.
So it's like a less advanced version of Go Fish.
Well, up until you get to the scoring.
You see, yeah. I don't know that we should be making a correlation between Go Fish and Scopa. Like, I think we should cut the umbilical cord on that
Scopa, one. Scopa, just the Italian Go Fish.
Yeah, this
except for this and this and
this is this. This is how you get the Tony Soprano treatment, all right? You're just sitting at a cafe, minding your own business. Next thing you know, you hear the car scream by, and that's the end of that. Then the series just goes to black.
Oh.
Yeah, spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't seen the final episode of The Sopranos. Well,
that's like got
to
be 12 years old at this point.
I was going to say, I think at this point, I think we're allowed to share spoilers on The Sopranos.
Spoilers last for 1 year.
Perfect.
Wow. Man. I wouldn't be able to watch goddamn anything.
Apparently, if you have a child, you get a little more than a couple years behind on things. You know.
12, man. 12. It's been a while.
If you're not going to watch something for 12 years, you're probably never going to watch
it. There's a lot of The Sopranos. I don't have that kind of time.
That's true.
Exactly. Which means you're probably not going to watch it.
Well,
you're absolutely right about that.
That's good music to start the episode with. You know, the woke up this morning, got myself a gun, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
That's the theme song of The Sopranos.
I think you just made ours.
It's like being
you sang it all by yourself.
Sure.
I'm very proud of you.
So what we should do is somebody should sit with me while we watch The Sopranos together, and then we can make another podcast. These things just build on themselves.
About
it's amazing.
The Sopranos.
We're watching Downton Abbey last time. Isn't that what Justin was talking about? We should sit here and watch Downton Abbey and do a podcast on that. We got it all.
It's delightful.
I think these things just replicate themselves. Everything just, you get the momentum and it just keeps going. You just make more and more stuff, and then eventually.
Now, if we could only bring it full circle, where the people in Downton Abbey were playing Scopa, then we could at least tie it all the way back around.
Damn. Good God.
That would be, magical.
Could you imagine those people in Downton Abbey? I've never seen an episode of Downton Abbey, but
from my
understanding of it, it's very, you know, prim and proper English folk.
I don't think I could imagine a bunch of proper English people calling each other a butana.
What exactly is a butana?
It's a prostitute.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that's an Italian term for a prostitute.
Why would you call somebody a prostitute when you're playing Scopa?
Just stole your trick. Because they just stole your trick. They're like, how dare you take the Primera from me? Like,
not entirely certain that a butana or a prostitute is what I would call somebody in the middle of a...
Well, I mean, I don't know what the Italian term for motherfucker is, so I would have said that instead.
There's the Not Safe for Work tag on this episode. Check.
Hey, I think I know that one, actually.
Yeah. Tom, bringing you the Not Safe for Work tag on every episode.
It's your standard card game, though. It's a standard Italian card game. Pretty straightforward. The scoring is easy up until a point.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the round, once all the cards are dealt out, all the cards are captured. You get 1 point for to whichever team has the most has captured the most cards. 1 point for the team that's captured the most coins. 1 point for the team that has captured the seven of coins, which is called the Sette Bello or the Beautiful Seven. And 1 coin or 1 point for any scopa you get. So scopa, here's your Italian lesson for the podcast. Scopa is Italian for sweep. So if you ever manage to sweep the last card off of the table and capture the last card so that the table is then empty, the center table is empty, you get an extra point for that. And then we come to the most confusing scoring that anybody can ever come up with, and it's the Primera. So to score the Primera, basically the I think we got it figured out. So a little caveat here, like I used to play a decent amount of Scopa. One of my previous relationships was with a nice Italian lady. I'm not going to get into that. I could do a whole podcast on that as well.
Awkward.
Oh yeah. But I mean, I used to play a decent amount of Scopa with her grandmother, her family, et cetera, et cetera. And the way that they scored the Primera is they just scored whoever captured the most sevens. And if you didn't capture, and if there was a tie for the most sevens, then it would just push. Like it would just be no point awarded. Now, according to the official rules, air quotes...
The official rules that I have in my hand state, earn the prime, Primera, and score 1 point. The prime is a separate set of values for each card and is different from the face or capture value. And then it goes on to explain...
Seven is a prime number.
...that the seven is worth 21 points. Things sort of go down from there until you hit the ace, and then the king, knight, and jack are all 10. Still doesn't... This doesn't tell me what the hell you're actually doing. So what we gathered from that by looking at a couple of things online was that for each suit, you take the one that gets you the most points based on this chart, sevens being worth the most, and you figure out who has the most points based on this thing, which is completely different from the face-up value. So yeah, I definitely think Adam's version is a hell of a lot easier to figure out.
Yeah, that's just the way I was taught. That's, you know, and I can't even tell you the number of Scopa games that I've played, because I've, you know, lost track around the four-digit mark.
Maybe that's one of those regional Italian rules. Like, the Sicilians, it's only watch seven you get, and then you go up to, like, north near Milan, and it's like, no, you got to get all the sevens.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what to make of it, but... When I was learning it the first time from an Italian family, they said, just whoever has the most sevens, if there's a tie for sevens, you push the point.
So in your thing where it's like regional, which one would be like the most anal? Is like one of the one section of the country has like the charts are just printed out everywhere?
Yeah.
They've got them on like... On like the sides of buildings.
Yeah.
It's just on your like coaster that you set your wine glass on.
You open up your phone and it's just got the list on there.
If you play it comes wrong, free. The brute squad comes by.
They just come and shoot you.
Just no.
Oh,
not for the first offense. I mean, come on, that's a little. You'll learn.
It's what they like. They like cut your ear or something.
No, they put the boots to you, medium style.
Just like the medium salsa of getting your ass kicked.
Yeah, you know. That's for the first offense, just to teach you a lesson. If you break the rules in Scopa.
Oh!
We were trying to figure out, like...
I mean, you just don't break the rules, or else, you know, Vinny's coming for you.
Oh, yeah. Vinny.
Right. So the other thing that I read online is that, you know, I've seen it personally, is like when you play games with Italian people, they tend to get like really animated, and that's part of the fun of playing Scopa. Is usually there's a lot of like cussing at each other, getting angry, calling each other names.
It's just one of those like cultural card games. Like, every culture seems to have a card game that is, like, you know, just passed down from generation to generation. And it just seems, like, very... Life and death. Yeah! Like, it just... and again, I could be way off base here, but it seems like a vast majority of the people from Asia that I talk to know Big Two. You know, Scopa just seems to be the Italian version of that, you know? It's,
I don't know what Big Two is.
Oh. I was going to leave with, like, Rich, but yeah, I guess Big Two.
Yo, you want to play a game of Big Two right now? We can play a game of Big Two.
You can probably play with Scopa cards.
No, you need 52. You need 52 for Big Two.
Do you need 52?
Well, I suppose not, but...
Because there's no jokers. Wait, do you play Big Two with jokers?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of...
You're thinking of Asshole.
That's right.
Which is very similar to Big Two. Just has extra rules, because why not make things more complicated?
Yeah.
Feel very out of...
Well, you didn't go to...
The loop on this one.
You didn't go to university and sit at a table where all you did was play cards.
No.
Non-stop spades.
Good times. Are you drawing on my... You fucking leave my table alone? It's had a rough go, okay?
I was trying to fill in the dark spot.
You were trying to fill in the dark spot with a pencil.
Yep. The white spot, you mean?
Yes, the light spot.
Light spot, not dark spot. Yeah.
I was trying to make it dark.
He's special.
Got it.
Sorry, I got distracted. I have ADD.
10-4. So!
Using that as a crutch, huh?
We didn't think we'd come close to 30 minutes on this, correct?
Yeah, we sure are at that. But, I mean, the first 9 minutes was throwaway garbage, so, I mean, there is that.
Fluff.
Plus, I have my off-topic counter here. Just keeping track.
Oh, dear.
Oh, what are we at?
Three.
Three, great.
That's not bad.
Yeah. We're doing pretty good. That's down from normal.
I didn't count when we started, because we weren't on topic yet.
Yeah, right. We hadn't even made it to the topic. We were just driving by.
Well, do you guys want to do your ratings?
Review?
Yeah, sure. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, I gave the sucker a 5. I think it's a good one to have around. Have it, keep it, love it, play it, do your thing.
And you can just, you probably already have a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Might as well throw it into the repertoire.
Yeah, it's super easy. You don't need any fancy deck of cards to play it. Although, I mean, like I said, you can, at least where we are. There's a bunch of Italian supermarkets, not a bunch, I'd say there's probably 3 or 4 Italian supermarkets that are in the city, and you can't go into one of them without finding a proper deck of Italian playing cards. So, I mean, like, don't feel that you have to go get a deck of Italian playing cards. You can take a normal deck and either take the court out or take the 8, 9, 10 out. The court being the Jack, Queen, King, for those of you who... I mean, I assume
I've got it figured out. I don't know. Bilbo's giving me funny looks.
No.
Jacqueline King, it's called the court.
That's just his face.
Okay, yeah. Right, got it. Sorry.
I could easily give this... It's a card game. And I mean, so it's like, what... basically what I'm asked to do here is, what sort of ranking would I give a deck of playing cards? Well, I mean, honestly, I rank it high. Like, I think everybody should have a deck of playing cards, at least one. There's so many options.
But should you learn how to play this particular game? Like, is this particular version of a game worthy of your time?
I mean, you can take it. You can take it with a grain of salt, because I guess at one point or another, I do have a bias, because I've easily played over 1,000 games of Scopa. So with that being said, I like Scopa. It's probably one of my, it'd be my go-to trick-taking game. I would rather play Scopa than play Spades or Hearts or anything like that. So
I'm going to throw a yit in there.
Whoa, slow your roll there, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like, I would rather play Scopa than many, many other trick-taking games.
Okay,
I guess
just to challenge you.
Sure.
Sorry. So Niet is also
a trick-taking game.
Yeah. You guys haven't played this, I apologize.
Well, we haven't put it on the podcast yet.
Just playing, no.
Edit in, Niet. We need to get that on the podcast.
I don't think anybody
podcast.
Has a copy of it.
I'll go buy a copy if that's what it takes.
Is it a card game?
It is, yeah.
It is, but it's...
But it's a special... Yeah. Like, it's not a normal...
Not a, like a...
I think there's like 5 or 6 suits.
Game.
Like, it's...
Oh, it sounds like Wizard?
I love
Wizard.
I do love Wizard too. That one really competes with Scopa, but
it just
I'd rather play. Like, I really like Niet as well. I think Niet's a very Very interesting, very strategic, but I love Scopa. Okay. I'd definitely play Scopa.
Curiosity.
So, I mean, with that being said, do I think that people should learn to play Scopa? Yes, absolutely. So if I had to give it a numbered rating out of 10, I'd give it a 9, like a hard 9. Right. I love Scopa. Love it.
It was fun. I mean, you taught me how to play in all of 5 minutes.
Or less, yeah. Yeah. About that.
And we
even won the second game.
We did win the second game.
Look at that.
I also enjoyed it. It's the first time I've ever played this game. The second time I've ever heard of it. So
probably both from us.
Yes.
The last time was last week when we were talking about playing the next game.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is 100%.
You idiots want to play Scopa? That's going to take like 5 minutes.
it is definitely one of those games that can take 5 minutes or 5 hours, depending on...
How much time you have. Yeah, because you still have the ability of choosing your end marker, right? Like, we could have played to 21, we could have played to 11. You choose your...
Oh, that's something that's important to have thrown in there, too.
Yeah.
So you play to either 11 or 21 points. That's the standard rules. Something that probably should have been mentioned earlier, but wasn't... you know, future Adam here.
When you write your 5-star review, mention that we should put the game's explanation all at the front.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Comments below.
So on your like thumbs up scale deck of cards.
I was still getting into talking about it. I was just gonna say it is. I also enjoy it because it is good for 2 to 6 players, whereas most of the trick taking card games that I know of, Hearts, Spades, Bridge, is really only 4 players,
mm-hmm.
and you need a hard 4 players. This one is nice that it has that leeway for play, and you can make teams if you want. If you don't, you don't have to have teams if you have more than 3, do you?
No, you can play 4 people individual.
Okay, or up to 6.
Or up to 6, yeah.
Would you add the second deck of cards for 6?
I think you can get away with 6 players on one deck. I've never played more than, like, on one deck of cards, I've never played more than 4 players.
So in here, it says, that's Briscola.
Yeah, Briscola.
Sure.
Emphasis, syllables.
No, it says Scopa can be played with 2, 4, 6 or more players.
Yeah, I think the more players... Yeah, I think if you go above 6, you need to add it. It says it in there somewhere.
Yeah, it says 6 or more players are participating, then 2 decks of cards should be used.
Okay.
Yeah, again, my experience, I've only played with a maximum of 4. But 2, 3, and 4 can all work.
Okay. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, so it's a game that you can very easily pick up and teach. All you need is a deck of cards. I liken it a lot to... It reminded me of Canasta, which I also really enjoy. That can go up to more players. I guess this is like your break point when you have 2 to 4 or 2 to 6. If you want to go up to 8 players, just break out 2 decks and go for Canasta. There's no bearing on this review at all. Rambling.
Well done, Justin.
Dead air.
This is more of a service at this point than a review anyway. I mean, it's not like...
Yeah.
If you have a deck of cards, you can learn how to play Scopa.
That's true. Yeah. It's hard to review a very classic card game.
So
it's like trying to review. So, yeah.
2 thumbs up.
I would give this a solid 2 thumbs up.
Excellent.
I would recommend it.
Excellent.
Learn it. Yay. Teach it. Live it.
Tom?
Wow. What the hell?
I feel like that was salt gun, like, thrown in my direction.
No. I was just... You're across the table.
Yeah.
What? She didn't say you were spitting on her. I was just looking while I said that. I see.
So,
I gotcha.
I was just kind of staring at the middle horizon, which is where your face is.
Event horizon?
Oh, maybe. Good
Excellent.
Movie.
And Tom.
Yeah. No, I, yeah. It's good. Scope is good. It'll stick around. I forgot how much fun it is. Honestly, like, I'm glad we busted this out, because yeah, you're right. You can have a whole different numbers of people playing, and it takes like no time at all to teach, and especially if you use rules that Adam mentioned, where you don't worry about whatever the hell this fucking rule book tells you to do for points. Yeah, super easy, super quick. You can play it. I mean, we played it for like, I thought we were gonna play it for like 5 minutes and then move on. We probably dicked around with it for about an hour, so. Yeah, big thumbs up for Scopa, big thumbs up for playing cards. Yeah, playing cards are great. Love playing cards.
Are we going to go to the sad part of this now?
The sad part of this?
Well,
it's not completely sad. It's colorful. It's cartoony.
It is. I will agree.
It's made by the guy. It's made by T-Turtle.
I agree.
I like their T-shirts.
I do.
So I have one of their T-shirts.
Oh yeah, they are. It's just you were selling that like a sales promotion.
Yes. It's a good company.
Unstable Unicorns is a game for 2 to 8 players. It takes, generously, it says 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, no.
And it is a cute game in the sort of what I think is known throughout the board game community is like a take that style game, where it's basically you have a bunch of cards in your hand. Each turn you can play a card. You get more cards every turn. You can play a card, and you're sort of going towards a goal. In this case, you're trying to play 7 cute unicorns into your what's called a stable. That's the end goal. You can play upgrades to your own unicorns. You can play downgrades on other people's stuff. You can play nay cards, which stop the people from playing stuff. And there's like one-time things that you can play to sort of dick with people. That's more or less it. There's nothing else more complicated than that. Everything is nicely laid out. Each card has a pretty good explanation of what it does on it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any questions about like whether something needs to happen before something else. Like there's none of that complicated bullshit. You get a reference thing, which is pretty well all you really need to play the game. Because I looked at that reference sheet while Justin was explaining the rules. I'm just like, I could probably just use this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one page. So it's a very easy game to pick up and play.
It has very similar games. Like there's other games that you may have heard of or played that are kind of relatively in the same field, same genre. Killer Bunnies.
Munchkin's
sure. Very much similar. Yeah. Organ Attack, it's a kind of a newer game. Works in kind of in the same realm, just the opposite in the fact that you actually start with stuff and they get taken away from you as opposed to trying to build up, but still has the same mechanism, the same I'm gonna screw you over and not this other person kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Now, spoiler alert here, but I would much rather play Organ Attack any day of the week. Definitely. Than this.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the art style's cute, it's colorful, it's kind of has like this, you know, relatively chibi kind of look to it. I definitely would put this under my broad stroke classification of like party card games. Now, this is the sort of game that I would lump in with other games like Munchkin, like Killer Bunnies, like, I would go as far to say as lump it in with like Cards Against Humanity in a different sense, but it's still not that it's a similar style of game, but that it's meant for a similar style of people and similar style of events. Like it's something casual. It's something that you can literally bring anybody into. They don't have to have a background in hobby board gaming to understand the game. But at the same time, there's no real draw for a serious hobbyist board gamer to want to pick this up more than, say, once.
I was also going to add a Flux to that list.
Oh, Flux for sure. Yeah. Flux.
I would say that the main things going for it are it's very simple to teach.
Sure, yeah.
And it's super cute.
Yeah.
The main selling point is the cuteness of it, I would suppose, the art style. It has some little bit of fluff. I feel like it could use more fluff, actually.
You know, I'm going to say the one... I have one criticism, like, game-wise for it. I find that it's... And I find the same thing with Killer Bunnies, and I find the same thing with Munchkin and things like that. I feel like you have to... Like, the cards, you have to read the card, and you have to, like, stop, and, like, you have to remember stuff. Like, there's this little level of... I can't be too drunk to play it because God knows you're not going to read the whole entire card every time, right? And you're not going to constantly like, right? Because how many times did I have to ask somebody what their fucking unicorn did, right? Like, oh yeah, shit, did I forget that? Oh yeah, right? Because you have to read the actual card to figure. They're not standard normal things that a card would do. They're very like out to lunch kind of weird things, and I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the same with like
yeah, Killer Bunnies and Munchkin as well, yeah, is every card, or not every card, but a lot of the cards do something unique. There's a lot of them, and there's a lot, yeah, a lot of the game is spent, what does that do?
Yeah.
And it definitely falls into, it's got the same kind of Munchkin Killer Bunny syndrome, where it's more about you having fun. You have to care about yourself having fun than everyone having fun.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot of the nay cards, yeah, which is basically the stop, throw your card in the garbage, you skip your turn.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I launched one of those at you at the very beginning of the game just because I was so excited because it said nay on it. And I was like, yeah!
I like the flavor on the nay.
But, yeah, that's about it.
You could definitely see, like, hope die in Justin's eyes when he realized it. It's like, oh, it's going to be one of those, huh?
Yes. Well, especially with, like, many games such as this or, like, Coup or... I find that I...
You mean Coop?
No, I mean Coup. You shut your dirty mouth. I attract those kinds of cards, for better or worse.
The biggest problem that I have with this game is that you have... It's the same thing, the same problem I have with Munchkin, and the same problem I have with, well, Killer Bunnies is less, because at least it has, like, the mechanics of Killer Bunnies at least push the game along regardless.
That's true.
But games like Munchkin, or, in this case, Unstable Unicorns, where you have, the game is going to go, it will go, until one person receives X of something. So, in Unstable Unicorns, it's 7 unicorns in their stable. In Munchkin, it's 10 levels. It's with all the information displayed out on the table, is like, obviously you want to be the winningest winner. You can't have somebody else be the winningest winner. So once one person gets close to that threshold, the 10th, when they're at like level 8 or 9 in Munchkin, or when they're at about 5 or 6 unicorns in Unstable Unicorns, is the entire weight of the table just slides over to that side.
Yeah, it's the punish the winner mechanic.
Of course.
Which is, yeah, very similar to Munchkin. Exactly.
But it causes the game just to go on forever. Like, it just carries on and on and on. And which can take a game that on the box says, oh, you can play this in 30 to 40 minutes, and turned it into what, like an hour and 15, hour and 20 fiasco before we're just like, okay, Tom wins. Thank God. And that's not a good feeling to have when you're playing a board game or a card game.
Yeah, the second, I didn't actually read the back of that, but the second I pulled out the game and read the rules, I'm like, oh, we're going to be here for a while. And this thing is definitely one of the games that it just gets exponentially longer the more people you have, because then you just have more people that can just punish whoever is in the lead. Mm. So, I don't know. It's kind of one of those games that you're having fun if you're not winning or losing. If you're on either sides, yes, of the spectrum, you're just going to hate this game.
Yes!
Because you're just going to feel picked on.
Well, I feel like you're just... I think that there's a point where it gets to where you're just like... You look at the cards in your hand and you're like, I'm not going to play that because this game's just going to become longer, right? And you're going to be like, well, if I do that, then that person... I'm going to knock that person down 5 pegs. And it's going to be like, ah, shit, we got to do this for that much longer? Like, come on. I'm just going to leave that alone. Let it happen.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Like, the art style's great.
Yes.
The color, you know, it's colorful, it looks nice, and, you know, you're like, oh, this is cute, blah, blah, blah. But the shiny penny aspect of it, where it's like, oh, look at this shiny new thing, becomes real tarnished real quick.
Yeah, it's I think it's great as a novelty. Yeah. Like, the first time going through it, there were a lot of things that we all laughed at.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
At least, yeah, a certain amount of genuine laughter. There was a few cards that were kind of forced humor that fell flat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in general, it's noise.
Now, would we not agree as a group that, like, a game like this does have a place, though? In my opinion, and you can go ahead and tell me I'm wrong, I don't mind. My opinion is it's decent as a game to get people who are scared of the quote-unquote hobby board games, or not scared, scared's a terrible word to use, reluctant to get into something that is beyond the realm of Monopoly, sorry, kind of stuff, to get into a board game that's a touch bit more serious. Well, serious. A touch bit more involved.
Yeah.
I think that that's, and obviously, like, I'm sure as you can tell by my having to reword my sentences every other time, I'm really reaching for this. But I think that there is a place for it, and it's to help new people to the hobby ease themselves in. But with that being said, it's like a one and done, play it and move on.
Yeah, I think I could definitely agree with that. I mean, there are certain games where you try to explain the rules and you can see everyone's eyes glaze over.
Sure.
As they forget the first half of what you were saying. This thing just gets you right into it. Everything's explained on the cards. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to forget what you're doing. Tom?
Pass.
I mean, I've had a lot. As a kid, I played a lot of Killer Bunnies. Like an exorbitant amount. Mm-hmm. So I kind of already knew what the game was the second I opened it. But I still have a few fond memories of Killer Bunnies. That kind of got you gameplay does. Like, it is fun for a while. It's just something that can get old fast. Like, the first time you play it, especially as a light board game player, you know, it feels good to, you know, try to keep your little stable of unicorns alive and play all your nay cards. It's a good shouting game. It's a game where you can just point at somebody and say, no.
Yeah. Like, it's a much younger demographic, right, that this game is geared towards. Like, I'm when I was between probably 16 and 18 or 19 is when I had a thing for Killer Bunnies, right? And that was because it was overdramatic and it was absurd and it was, I can kill your guys by, I don't know, some sort of stupid mechanism. And like
bubonic plate or laser or something.
Yeah, like, it's a very young, yeah, it has a very specific
space.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very specific group of people that it's geared towards, and sure.
Again, when I was younger, in like my late teens, early 20s, I mean, I played a disgusting amount of Munchkin. I did. I played a ton of Munchkin, and I loved it.
It's okay. This is a safe space.
yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah, I played like a disturbing amount of Munchkin, and I think like in that time, I really got my need to play a game like that. I got it out. I scratched that itch. Mm-hmm. And now the more I scratch it, it's just not ending well.
No.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you guys have said. It's
pretty basic.
It's fun to go through the first time and like, huh, yeah, hipster unicorn. That's hilarious. But like, I mean, God, I'm like 35. I don't have time for this shit. Like, the only thing I could think of when we were playing this is like, man, maybe I could just throw the game somehow and maybe we could play something else.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, when we were younger, I could definitely see having this game be something that you can get out with your stupid friends and play a couple of stupid rounds while you're watching TV or just yelling at each other, right? Mm-hmm. At your school tables or whatever, and having people come over and be like, oh, that's cute. What's that? Right? Mm-hmm. Do you think you need, like, one copy of one game like this hanging around based on whatever your particular fancy is? Like, if you're into D&D, Munchkin's probably okay. If you're into unicorns, this is probably good. If you're into bunnies, I guess? bunnies and fucking murder, I guess you can pick up Killer Bunnies.
That is a deep rabbit hole, so to speak, though. Because unlike Killer Bunnies, this is pretty much standalone. I think there are two expansions that I'm aware of.
Yes, this, I believe, was a Kickstarter from my wife, and it came with the Dragons expansion pack, which add dragons, I assume. I didn't open that up. And the counter-argument to everything we just said, which is the not-safe-for-work expansion where it has a dildo strapped to a unicorn's head.
No, okay. It was a horse.
I got more amusement.
It was a horse?
It was a horse with a dildo.
With a dildo. To make it a unicorn.
To make it a unicorn.
Oh, he was just a... Oh, God.
Jesus.
Right, you get it? Yeah.
I got more amusement out of looking at those cards, I think, than anything else.
What I'm saying when I say that it's a counter-argument is I would not give my 15-year-old son the Not Safe for Work expansion pack. So if it's four people between 15 and 20, like, he's not seeing this.
Why not? Oh, come on. Let's be realistic. When you were 15, you knew all about this shit already.
No, but I wouldn't let him have this.
No.
You're probably...
This is why I don't have children.
You're probably right. That's probably the actual example. This is the... what is it?
With that it
this
almost
is exhibit. This is exhibit A that this is for children. Yeah. Is like
demographic 15 to 18 immaturity level.
Yeah,
maximum immaturity level.
Yeah,
like yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, where especially with like the nay cards, it's more important that you're having fun than somebody else, and it's a good point at somebody and yell at them.
Yeah, card
game.
Yeah, which is again like. Pointing and yelling at someone lasts all of 3 seconds, and you're like, yeah, that was fun. And then, depending on how many people you've got rolling on your table, it's like 15 minutes before your fucking turn comes around, and it's like, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. Exploding Kittens, very much the same.
Oh, I never played
Exploding
that
Kittens,
one.
There kittens seem to be in there's a blender.
Right.
There's like a lot of
bear
those.
Game, too, isn't there?
The one thing that I hate about this game in particular is like, there does not seem to be any... There's potentially no end to the goddamn thing. That was the same problem I had right. with Killer Bunnies.
Yeah.
Like,
you can run out of the deck
yeah.
when the deck runs out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's supposed
but
to be
the deck is huge!
And then
it
you add
huge.
In... Let's add in 56,000 more cards with expansions! Like, it's never going to end.
No. Yeah, no, it is definitely one of those games where you can just stop.
At least with Exploding
living.
Kittens, like, people got, like, knocked out of the game
mm-hmm. yeah.
as you went. Like,
yeah.
Not,
same, I'll agree.
Not a great situation, but
yeah, and the same thing with the even Killer Bunnies is eventually the game's going to end because there's just easy mechanics to get the carrots.
Because and Tom then, flips the table over and says,
"Well, and then yeah,
and
once all the carrots
out.
Are done, you no. just someone wins at random."
That's right.
Yeah, I mean it is the Killer Bunnies has one of the worst winning mechanics, but it will end. This one could not, but I mean that seemed like Munchkin. Munchkin can go on for far too long.
So I think one thing that I would recommend to anybody who is playing a game and maybe looking around at their friends and seeing maybe not everybody's having fun is maybe just suggest, yo, guys, are we not enjoying this? Like, let's try something else.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I'm trying to be upbeat throughout these podcasts, but like, this is the kind of game that, like, you just need to look around and be like, is everyone actually enjoying themselves? It's okay. It's okay to just dump
stop.
It and move on.
You can scrap the game of Unstable Unicorns and just pick up another round of Scopa.
Six or seven rounds of Scopa.
I would definitely rather play 5 hours of Scopa than 5 hours of Unstable Unicorns.
Well, because 5 hours of Unstable Unicorns, you've probably got two games in.
Play 5 hours of Scopa over 1 hour of Unstable Unicorns.
Oh, definitely.
Easy. Yeah. Like, Scopa definitely takes the cake for me today.
So.
Sorry.
Reviews?
yeah. Final thoughts on this?
Sorry, I went with a 2. I didn't say stay away from it. I think everybody has... I think everybody should experience this type of game at least once. So I've given this a 2. If you have the chance to play a game like this, do it. Do it once. It's a decent kind of entry level into the board game world. But man, beyond that, I wouldn't. If you've been playing board games for a while, I'd probably steer.
Would you recommend any other types of game like this over this that have similar mechanics?
I don't know. I enjoy Organ Attack better. That's more of my kind of, but that's a...
I also think that's a different style of game. Like, I do think it's different. I think it's, like, it draws along the same lines, sure, but it is a lot more driven to an end. Like, games like Organ Attack, they have an end, and you will hit that end. And
yeah. Yeah, but it's like, if we're talking party games, like party card games in general, I'd go way faster.
Sure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'd go faster towards Cards Against Humanity than I would this, because Cards Against Humanity to me is easier. You don't have to read all this stupid text on the bottom to find out what all these different cards do. Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward. It's very like, here.
Yeah.
I'd much rather go through a fast-ish game of Cards Against Humanity or Organ Attack than this, kind of bar none in my world.
Yeah, and I think bringing up like Cards Against Humanity and like Organ Attack, this is definitely falls into that category of games where you need to have this group of people that all have the same sense of humor.
Yeah.
Or someone's not going to have fun. Like, you have to be able to laugh at the stuff in Cards Against Humanity, or you're just going to feel awkward or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For
or,
sure.
Or offended.
if you hate unicorns and cute stuff, you're going to be bored. If you hate organs, you're just not going to have fun.
Yeah, it's for sure. Like, it's definitely a flavor text. Like, you ought to...
Man, do I ever hate kidneys. Right? Goddamn kidneys.
Why do I have two of these things? Organ attack, not for shapeshifters.
And I mean, it's... I find it interesting that we bring that up because, I mean, in my opinion, Cards Against Humanity is pretty lowbrow, like, lowest common denominator, just...
Definitely. Yeah.
You know? Like, it is... Yeah.
Tom has a big hate on, I think, for Cards Against Humanity.
I think a lot of people do. There's just better options. They're just better options. And Unstable Unicorns is not one of them.
Okay, but this is coming from the guy who's got the bigger, blacker box.
Yeah, sure. I'm not saying that I've never played it.
Biggest bloody box of Cards Against Humanity
it's
I've ever seen.
It's a huge black box.
Oh,
you're right.
Man, I've seen your big black box. It's just majestic.
It is. I keep it because, again... Like Tom said, you need to have a game of this vein.
Yeah.
You just need to have it just in case, like, you need to pull out something that scratches that itch. And the problem is, like I said, this game does not do it. I mean, I'm giving it a 3.5, and I mean, again, I think that's, on one hand, I think that's pretty goddamn generous.
Was that out of 10?
Out of 10, 3.5.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it has a place, and I agree with Tom that you need to have one game of that vein. For me, this is not it. I would play Munchkin over this, and even that one, it makes my skin crawl to even think about it. Because again, I've moved past that, I'm ready for something else. If I'm going to play a party game, I'm going to play Organ Attack, I'm going to play Coup, I'm going to play damn near anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to reach for this game.
I find it hard to give this a rating. It just doesn't... I mean, of this genre, I would probably play Killer Bunnies, but that's mainly just out of nostalgia. Mm-hmm. This is a game that I would have had fun with at some point in my life. And I could tentatively recommend it for a 16-year-old as a gift, as long as they're not heavily into board games or something. It's a very light, you know, like, oh, they play some card games or something. You know what? They have some friends. Get them Unstable Unicorns. But, you know, if you actually enjoy playing with friends and you want to keep them, I wouldn't suggest...
You want to keep them?
I wouldn't suggest breaking out Unstable Unicorns when they come over. It's one of those games that you're going to play once, laugh at the cards, put away on your shelf forever. Unless you want to play with your, you know, 14-year-old niece.
Oh, all right.
So it's like the inverse of the Dale Carnegie course. It'd be more like How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I would probably play this over Munchkin because I hate that game. but that's about the most I could say about that. This is definitely a would not recommend to 90% of the people, and this is a solid thumbs down.
So a solid one thumb or a solid two thumbs down?
One thumb. It's not offensive. It's not horrible. No, yeah, it's just
meh.
Boring. It's meh. It's boring after you play it once.
We didn't get through it, and I was bored.
No, we did get through it.
Yeah, you won.
You won.
No, I was bored before we got in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I agree. Yeah.
And Tom, is it going to stay on the shelf?
What?
Yes.
I mean, again, not to spoil anybody's fun here, but these are probably not going anywhere. This was one that I didn't pick up, so I don't really have any say over it. But
right.
No, if I had the choice, if I had a shredder nearby, I would consider putting it in there. The one thing it has going for it is it is cute, like everyone said. I do quite like the art. It's a nice little thing. It's a curio. It could sit in the box and sit on your coffee table. It's quite nice. People can look through it and laugh. Mm-hmm. It's not a great game. It sucks. It falls in the same vein as what everybody else has said here, that, you know, you get these things out, you play a card, you tell your friends they're a bunch of assholes while you're yelling at each other, and that's the extent of it. And, like, in a party scenario, I've got a dozen other games that I'd bust out before this, or Munchkin, or Killer Bunnies, or anything else that has been mentioned here today. Like, if you have a party, there's no reason to play this game over something else that I could recommend at a moment's notice. Scopa, yes, I would. I mean, I'd play fucking cribbage over this. Like,
I like crib.
Yeah,
I would make two people sit on the sidelines and wait for me to play a three person game of crib. Like, yeah, I would play. I would find some way to make that work because this game was just no fun. Like, about 5 minutes in, I was like, oh, this is good. This is how that's gonna be. And like, just knowing deep down with this sense of dread that this was going to take forever, and I was right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I picked it because it said build a unicorn army on it. And I'm sure, not going to lie, that was like hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure that's the same reason it got kickstarted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, there's nothing wrong. I don't know. I've got no problem with trying stuff.
Yep.
Sometimes it's going to be good. Sometimes it's going to be bad. And I mean, sure. I'm not blaming you.
No, I am.
Or saying that I had a bad time with the experience.
Yeah.
It was that this game was boring.
Yeah.
No, I get that.
I feel like we all go through a Munchkin unstable bunnies phase.
Yeah.
It's just a phase you go through. You know, you're curious about board games.
You're
not sure what to do. You don't know what to try, so you experiment a little.
Do you pick the one with the cute unicorns on the front or the one that has the guy wearing chainmail? I mean, you don't know what life is like then. So
you're the bunny that looks like he's going to bite your face off.
Yeah, so you're just going out there, you're trying different things, you're experimenting. Like, what does that tablet do, you know?
Just keep it in your pants, people. No, I'm just kidding.
Abstinence. PSA brought to you by...
Today's review brought to you by Abstinence. The only way... Jesus.
To not have the child...
Or two. Please save me. If anyone's hearing this, no.
Send help.
Send help. The children are taking over. Yeah. Scope is good and stable unicorns, not so good. I mean, you'll know. You'll know if you see this. You'll be like, oh, I love unicorns. And I don't know how much it was. It's probably fine, like
that was like $30, probably. $30-$40 maybe.
Can't use that as bookmarks.
Too much.
That's a good 30. Point.
I would use them as bookmarks.
The art on here is nice enough that, yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. You take them and use them as bookmarks.
I think that I don't believe that you'd be able to do that for less than $30. I think printing cost, card cost.
Yeah. I'd say that's about $30.
Yeah, I'd say $30 or $40.
Man, if it was over $30, I would need, like, I would just set that thing right back down.
Well, how much money do you think you spend on Killer Bunnies? Like, just an expansion.
Oh, damn. Wow.
Like, just an expansion alone.
$200?
Is absurd.
Just looking off into the middle distance, like,
way too much money.
Yeah,
yeah, right. So, but that's what I mean, right? Like, I mean, I think that the game costs more than you possibly should spend on it, but... It's like we said, it's a right of way into the world of board games, and everybody's going to do it.
Sad right of way.
There are way better ways to get people into board games than this fucking piece of shit.
I would recommend Risk over that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not good. I don't even know that I've...
Man. I mean...
Well, actually, that...
Can we get some screeching tires and broken glass after that comment, please? Like,
there are games, like, Catan is, like... You know, I know how games work, so you don't have to explain to somebody what a victory point is. It was a good, like you go from Monopoly to Catan, and you're like, holy shit, I didn't realize that I could play a game that didn't make me feel awful and want to choke my brother to death.
Yeah.
Right? So, but I think we've gotten to the point now where there's, like, thousands
Catan
of games.
Catan doesn't make you want
to
strangle people?
I did once. But it's not, no, but like, not in the same visceral way that Monopoly does.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Anyway, is there any other final thoughts?
I want to know what we're doing next week. I'm excited to hear what we're doing next week.
Let's consult the old box.
Now, what I've got next on here is River Dragons. So next week...
A game we might actually enjoy.
Yay!
So join us next time for River Dragons.
Hey, again, so then final things, of course, are final plugs. Myself, Adam, you can follow me on Twitter, @ForTheWin. Instagram, @ForTheWin, although I'm rarely ever on Instagram because I just find Twitter to be more my cup of tea. Streaming all the damn time, twitch.tv/ForTheWin. All of those are spelled FORTHEWHYN. And, yeah, anybody else? Debbie, anything to plug?
Yeah, I am forever known as Mrs. Wynn. Because, well,
association.
I can't be myself. Right. Otherwise, until, you'd know me as Dutch Bones.
Right up until the papers go through.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dutch Bones or Mrs. Wynn. You get one or the other, man.
Tom, anything to plug?
Not really. Twitter is @TeamRageTom, which I have not used, but maybe I will once this goes up. Only other thing is to like, subscribe, you know, go on iTunes or whatever your app is, do a recommendation, and put a 5-star review, maybe write something nice. Any feedback is probably good. I mean, I don't know where you'd send it.
Like us, yet. Love us.
Yeah, like us, love us, love your friends. Share this with your friends and enemies or anyone that you think is might like it.
Parents.
Anyone interested or have any fascination about board games.
Anyone who's interested in the lifestyle.
I don't know if I would ever call that
a lifestyle.
I'm not sure that I want to be roped into that.
You know what I mean? You don't want to be lumped in with the lifestyle?
No, I don't think I do.
Tom, why do you...
That's like the situation or something. Just,
why do you lean,
weird.
Why do you lean forward and pump your eyebrows every time you say that?
The lifestyle.
The lifestyle. Pump, pump.
You were dancing earlier, and I just saw out of my corner of the eye, and it looked like you were just rubbing yourself. So...
Sexy time.
Yeah.
Sexy time.
And if you want to get a hold of me, Justin, just harass Adam at For The Win.
Hey!
Because I have no social media.
Go onto his Twitter or Twitch and tell that bearded fuck. Lean into the mic.
Learn to speak into the microphone.
Anyway, that's...
One more thing that we can probably edit in there somewhere is likely by the time that this podcast is live. So my website will also be live, www.forthewin.com. There will be a page dedicated to the podcast there. You'll just be able to go into the website, forthewhyn.com, and browse around. It'll be there.
If you go
to the main page, there'll be tabs that you can just click on. One will say podcast.
Done and done.
Join us next time for River Dragons and
homemade fish cakes. They're tasty when hot and horrible when cold.